portions of our programming have been pre-recorded.
The Good Neighbor Network, WGNS, Murfreesboro, Smyrna. Flagship station for MTSU sports. The views and opinions on this show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of WGNS, its management, other hosts, or advertisers.
Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Good evening, everybody. Yeah, I'm on my phone. Don't you tell everybody that? No, get off your phone. Yeah. I'm sending a message to my cousin in Kentucky. Hello, cuz. Hello, Brenda, if you're listening. I just sent you a message. Hope you'll be listening tonight. Hope you are, because I got a good friend here. Fine young man. He's been with me several times before. He knows his way around this station. Christian Gay. Christian, how you doing?
Doing fine. How are you, Ed?
Well, that's one thing. I had an aunt, you know.
We're getting better all the time.
And my uncle, I asked her, I said, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Bless her heart, she's gone now. Rest her soul. She was the sweetest thing there was.
Yeah.
I said, how are you doing? He said, Eddie, don't you know, but now after all these years, you never ask her how she's doing. It was a man's wife.
Remember, I mean, we've only got an hour.
I know. Well, let me tell you all about it.
Yeah, I didn't bring my frock and my toll booth to get into so I can confess.
Bring your knitting so you can sit there, or crocheting, whatever, while you're doing.
That's
while
pretty,
I'm telling you how bad things are. You doing all right?
Shoot, better than you.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Connor's on the board. He's getting a kick out of this.
Yeah.
No, I'm doing good. I'm doing very well. You know, and I think you probably are too.
Oh, yeah.
Right, waiting for the wife to get by.
Alive. Yeah, she's out in North Carolina. She's listening tonight.
Oh, she is? Good.
I think so. She's an hour behind or an hour ahead. So she
right.
already knows what we're going to talk about.
Okay. nobody ever knows where you're going to go, Christian, I'll tell you.
Well,
and that's okay. It's the reason you're here. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me again. It's always a pleasure.
I appreciate it because I wait until the last day or two.
Yeah.
And I did it this week because I'm serious. I've had a heck of a weekend. I've been upside down. But that's one thing. And it's fine. Everything's good. But so much happens so fast.
Uh-huh.
And I had another source that I had, and they turned out to be, they're out of town. It's Judy Whitehill, and she's going to be here. She's a former educator here in Rutherford County.
She's a good one.
She is. And, Jeff Neal called her today. He found out I didn't win out of four chilies that were presented for the chili cook-off. I didn't win. He said, you couldn't beat four. You couldn't beat four. I said, look, it was rigged. It's rigged. Stop the counting. You know, I demand the rig. Just stop the counting.
Ed, what'd you put in your chili to?
I'm telling
what
you.
What you put in it?
I'm not a heroin dealer. I am not a cocaine dealer or heroin dealer. Okay, let me just say that.
Oh.
I'm not a dealer in that.
Okay.
Now, if we could move on.
I was waiting to see what the connection with the chili was, but
no,
you didn't,
let's move on. I told you the weekend was a mess. It's getting worse.
All right.
No. I did. I mean, a guy's going to be running for office. Bless his heart. And excuse me if he's listening now. I'm sorry. I apologize. Your name escapes me. He won. Of all things, he won. That's a rigged deal. It was rigged.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's rigged. They want to make him feel good.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, because nothing boosts nothing boosts a man's confidence like ground beef and beef broth.
That's right.
Simmered 25 to 35 minutes
with tomatoes in it. I'm telling you, it's great. And some spices.
If that's not a measure of your masculinity, I don't
know
what
it is. There
you
go. That's it, man.
I couldn't imagine.
My chili had won an award. I have award-winning chili.
Oh, do you?
I do. It won an award.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It was a $10
gift. $10 gift.
But it was an award. I won an award with it. So I'm not lying.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, I'll tell you what. But for right now, I'll tell you what. Let's get started on this thing. Play me some music, Connor. For right now, my name is Edwin Lee Raymond. Yes, for right now, I'm still a private investigator. Welcome aboard.
Can't cook chili worth anything.
This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show with your host, Ed Raymer, on your Good Neighbor Station, News Radio, WGNS.
Christian Gay. That's all of him.
You only fire me once.
And
once is all it takes.
This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. I'm your host, Ed Raymer. This show, of course, is produced right here in Murfreesboro Studios, WGNS. AM and FM, 1450 AM, 100.5, 101.9 FM, right here in the heart of the great Volunteer State, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And you can reach us, me and Christian, tonight, right here at the station, 615-893-1450. That's 615-893-1450. The AM call letters 1450, and you can also send us a text to that number. And our producer, Connor, who's on the board, will be glad to take it down and read it over the air, hand it to me or Christian. We'll be glad to read it. For those of you that are a little bit too high or too shy to join us, thanks for being here, Christian. You can also join us at WGNSradio.com. Hit listen in. You can listen just about anywhere you go. Or you can download the WGNS app, take us with you wherever you go, listen whenever you wish. Angela Bingham just left a while ago. She left her phone up here, bless her heart. Her and Angela Marie had just a great show tonight. Had a Dr. Jackson in. If he's the same doctor I know, I think he preached at my father's church once up in Manitou, Kentucky, up at Oklahoma General Baptist. And a fine man, carries his Bible in his smock. He is a believer, whether you like that or not. And, you know, I was listening to Jason Qualls earlier this week. Great job. Jason's doing a good job for everybody. Good financial advice. And not a bunch of pie in the sky and a bunch of books and, you know, charts and graphs he's selling you. Just good advice and good people that he has on. And, Christian, we're glad to have you. How can you listen to us? My wife listens on Alexa. You can find us, folks. You can Google my name. You can find us just about anywhere. You can look on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, WGN News Radio WGNS, and we should be on there now. If not, Connor loads our show up right after we go off the air. So you can find us. Just type in Edwin Lee Raymer at on YouTube, and it'll pull us up. Like I said, my wife listens on Alexa, and she sees enough of me at the house, so she can just listen, okay? What you been up to, Christian Gay?
Well, nothing since you asked me last time.
Yeah?
Nothing out of the ordinary. I think I'm getting back into campaign season again.
Yeah, right.
People are starting to come and seek some advice.
Right.
And very excited to be working with a few folks now. One of them is Will Lahue. He is a very bright fellow. He may not agree with you on that.
Yes.
You may have met him, but I think that he's got something going for him, and I'm very very excited to see what we can do here. But other than that, I've been studying. I told you earlier for the law school admission test. I'll be taking that in November. But besides that,
okay,
same as always, man.
Yeah, and you know, I gotta tell you, a lot going on going into fall. We're not changing season, you know, changing seasons, changing people, changing weather, changing people, and it, you know, we're going to play something for you, and I brought Christian up here for a reason, because I am a firm believer that without the law, we're really not going anywhere. Without the law. And Christian is, of course, getting ready to take. You're going to take a bar when? November?
The LSAT will be in November, yeah.
November. I want to play you something from Lawrence O'Donnell. And ladies and gentlemen, Trump this week, I'm not going to say he gave a speech. I was telling Christian, they're just more like ramblings anymore to me. They're not speeches. He goes off script. I'd hate to be a speechwriter for this guy. It wouldn't work. No, it wouldn't. I mean, he's just, you know, right. Because, I mean, we've got the best of everything. I'm the best. They're the best. We're the best. You know, okay, wonderful. That's great. But, and I want you to listen to this. This is from Lawrence O'Donnell. It's about 14 minutes. We're not going to play all of it. But take a listen to this, if you will. Connor, go ahead. This is from courtesy of YouTube via MSNBC, the Lawrence O'Donnell Show. Go ahead, Connor.
The United States of America is facing an emergency tonight. And no, it is not the emergency of the clock ticking to midnight without legislated funding for the American government. We've seen that clock tick to midnight before on nights like this. The emergency the United States of America is facing tonight is an emergency the United States of America has created for the world. And that emergency is that the president of the United States, in his public appearance today, proved that he is mentally incapable and emotionally incapable of fulfilling his constitutional duties as president of the United States. In other words, there is no president of the United States as we knew it. There is no functioning intelligence, no functioning judgment mechanism within the mind of the current holder of the title, President of the United States. And that person is also the holder of the nuclear codes that could destroy the planet in seconds. And he is, much to the horror of the commanding officers of the American military who listened to him today, the commander in chief of the most powerful military in the history of the world. Much of the news media made the mistake of believing that all of the American commanding generals and admirals were being summoned to Quantico, Virginia, to listen to the small man of small experience who is currently the Secretary of Defense. That was obviously a fraudulent reason for demanding that all the generals and admirals fly from all over the world, leaving their command posts, to listen to a speech. It was obviously always just a setup for Donald Trump to harangue that audience with what turned out to be stream of consciousness madness, complete with hallucinations and an endless stream of pathological lies. A group of officers who earned their jobs in ways that Donald Trump never could had to sit there and listen to a clown who stood before them in what appears to be a homemade brew of orange makeup slathered all over his face because he thinks it makes him look better. And I guess maybe we should accept Donald Trump's judgment about that one thing, that the madman orange makeup he slathers on himself makes him look better. Maybe it does. We don't know. Maybe the actual sight of the actual color of his 79-year-old skin is much worse than the orange clown confection that he chooses, but we don't know. Or maybe the orange junk on his face is yet another proof that the man has no capacity to make a judgment about anything, including the way he looks, never mind nuclear weapons. What was he thinking backstage when his Secretary of Defense, who had to promise to stop drinking to get confirmed by the Senate, insulted all of the commanding officers in the room with this kind of idiocy?
It's completely unacceptable to see fat generals and admirals in the halls of the Pentagon. and leading commands around the country and the world. It's a bad look. It is bad, and it's not who we are.
Okay, Pete. How about fat presidents? How about a president who has been fat every day of his political career? Is that a bad look? All of those generals can button their uniform jackets. All of those admirals can, every one of them.
Okay, now that we're talking about fat, we're going to leave it off there. Hey, Christian.
Hello, Ed.
That's one night I told him, I said, I'd like to back this camera off, make me look just a little bit thinner. They said, how do you feel about Smyrna?
Well, how do you feel about Smyrna?
I lived there for many years. I don't have no problem with Smyrna. Yeah. They had a problem with me, I guess. Yeah. You know, bless their heart. Christian, you and I were talking before we came on the air. I can only imagine how these generals felt sitting there. Listening to this, do you know how hard it is to, first of all, even become a general in service, military service, or an admiral? This must have been devastating for them.
On one hand, you can imagine the lunacy of the situation and the event.
Sure.
But on the other hand, the ramifications of this rambling nonsense, this
agreed
unprovoked event, you know, you often look at it and you could never probably imagine another president or military leader. I mean, Dwight Eisenhower was rolling in the grave, churning in the urn.
Sure.
When it comes to listening to this, not because it is merely embarrassing, but because it is un-American.
Sure it is.
Now, you know, Thurgood Marshall said once that the KKK never dies. They just stop wearing sheets because sheets cost too much.
Right. Yeah. And you have to launder them and all that stuff.
Yeah, right, right. Well, I hear if you buy sheets from MyPillow, they come with the eye holes already cut out. But,
oh, okay.
Mike Lindell, you know that
guy. Yeah, but, I know. I got you.
But there is a gulf of misunderstanding between our top military officials and the officials that make up the administration of the government of the United States of America.
Totally as different as black and white.
Yes, because one is a very serious institution. The other is an unserious apparatus operating in another serious institution.
Right.
And unfortunately, one of those institutions is ran by what the Constitution calls the Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Military Forces.
Right.
So, when you hear stuff like what Secretary of Defense Hegseth talked about when it comes to people's appearance, but he goes in further and talks about women.
I know.
They're not being any exception for women to join. You know, Kash Patel has fired people for keeping pride flags on their desk at the at the DOJ or whatever he does, the FBI. So we're already seeing a culling of ideology, of disagreement, a very closed system, one that does not allow for there to be any wavering.
Right.
About what
yeah.
they believe.
It's my way or no way.
And, you know, one thing we talk about fat with Pete Hegseth, but it's his tattoos that have the neo-Nazi symbolism in them. The 88, which is the famous, Hail Hitler thing.
I know.
A lot of other nefarious symbols on his chest. You know, you wish you could make it up. I wish it was fake.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot. I'm older than you. I've seen some bad. I lived through the Nixon thing.
you know. But President Nixon had respect for the rule of law and the office of the president.
So did the legislators.
The legislators, Republican legislators.
You know, that's the difference
right
here, is that the Ku Klux Klan never dies. They just stop wearing sheets because sheets cost too much.
That's right.
They wear suits. They press out their clothes now. They can afford the cost of better looking sheets. But I'm not merely applying the brand of the KKK, an awful, racist terror organization,
right,
to MAGA legislators. I'm not doing that. What I am saying is that the measure of our country's greatness is its ability to retain compassion in times of crisis. Another Thurgood Marshall quote. We are in a crisis.
Yes.
We have people who are propping up this government, ensuring that the rule of law, as you have mentioned, whenever the president is struck down by a federal judge he appointed the other week I think earlier in his first term,
right,
tells him, no, you can't send National Guard troops to Portland, but he takes from California's National Guard. And today we had Governor Newsom over there threatening to sue the president for an unlawful act violating a federal order. We're flouting the law in real time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you can point to an administration that has wished to send the National Guard to cities to quell, what do they call, insurrection, if you can find me even any proof of such, then I'd be happy to listen and to accept the premise that this is not unusual.
Right.
But it is indeed unusual.
Right. I'm telling you, unbelievable. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I've got a call. Yeah. I'll tell you what, let's take our caller now. Let's go ahead and do that. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, how about that chili recipe?
This is Jeff Neal. I got your message. Yeah. You know, it was rigged.
I just want to say it's Department of War now, not Department of... You know that,
oh, thank. Yes, I did know that, Jeff. Thank you.
We're at war every day, even though he says he stopped with about 15 of them, and 14 of them are over stopped. So, you know, this Nobel Peace Prize mess, you know, deserves and all this.
Yeah, he is politic for that Peace Prize. I mean, he really has. He has politic for that. I've never known anyone to politic for a Nobel Peace Prize.
I think only one country's nominated him. Some small, you know.
You know who also called himself a man of peace? Adolf Hitler.
Adolf Hitler, yeah.
Bob Dylan said sometimes Satan comes as a man of peace.
Sure he does.
But and then now he said he's going to solve the Hamas deal, which I don't really know much about that. But no, like you guys said, the problem is, I mean, there's a lot of problems, but some of these people, he's got his cabinet on it, like Patel, they're not even, they don't know what they're doing.
No.
Kennedy don't know nothing about no health. He's never been a doctor. He don't know nothing about no doctor himself. He can't talk to himself, but this is his country. I mean, he don't know what's going on. So, I mean,
yeah, the incompetence is the point. That's the entire point.
I told Emily I went and saw here a while back. Man, I saw Senator Johnson and Miss Payne speak, and Senator Johnson, we just have to deal with, you know, we got three more years, and she was overseas, and people say, how can y'all deal with it? We just got to deal with Joe through his time, and like Emily, you lived through Nixon, and
sure,
you remember what he said, right?
Oh yeah,
he said I resigned the presidency. Effective noon tomorrow.
That's right.
That's what he said. Because he had honor for the office, and that's why he resigned. He could have stayed and got in peace and all that business. He could have got thrown out, but he didn't. He had honor for the office. And,
yeah,
and
but Jeff, here's the thing. Here's what I'm getting at. And here's the reason I didn't. Here's one of the reasons I called Christian up, and I'm glad you called, Jeff. It's not just that it's the senator back then, and neither one of you remember him, man by the name of Barry Goldwater.
I know Barry Goldwater. He ran against LBJ.
Yeah. who was a Republican. He was a right side of the aisle politician, but could be dealt with and you know, was reasonable when it comes to serious matters.
He was insane.
Right, but, yeah, but when it came to it, he led the march up to, you know, down Pennsylvania Avenue to say, Mr. President, I'm sorry, we just don't have the votes, and you've got to go. Yeah. We don't have anyone, this little Mike Johnson that's running Congress now, and now you've got Thune in charge of the Senate. Yeah. When did these people come to their senses? And we have people right here in Rutherford County. Now, I'm saying this, and I mean it. They're right here on boards, school boards, other boards that are here that think that everything Donald Trump does, that's, okay, well, that's gospel. That's the way it is.
It's
unbelievable.
Like you, I don't see it.
It's an attachment to power.
Well, the thing about it, it's like you said, Emily, nobody's willing to stand up to me.
But not even, it's not that nobody's willing to stand up, it's that we're willing to accept. It's the idea that these people are not monoliths. These people are as weak as you and I. They just chose the winning team. Without the winning team, they are as weak as you and I.
Well, I'm not going to apply for the winning team. I'll stay here with me.
In a couple of weeks, that's why I want to see, because I know you can go next week, but on October the 18th, the Murfreesboro Indivisible Group is going to have a No Kings protest at the courthouse. Well, it's a Saturday.
Right.
From 2 to 4, they're going to protest the Trump administration. That's what I mean. People want to come out and be out there at the courthouse that day. It's on a Saturday. It's from 2 to 4 p.m.
We all need to be there.
That's Rutherford County Courthouse.
Including me.
It's going to be a peaceful protest of the Trump administration. It's one of those No Kings rallies. I just want to let people know that is going on. And because I'm on the mailing list for the Republican Democrat. They sent me some stuff that they were doing. They had that Blue Harvest bash and different things and trying to get candidates and all that. And I would tell you, too, I told you last week I was in Franklin. I didn't see an Abson Bain campaign sign, but I didn't want to tell you. I saw today, I read today, where about 36,000 people had early voted in her election, and it was about half and half. They said half Democrats and half Republicans weren't registered. So, but like you say, off elections, not many people vote. They need to get out and vote in this one.
They won't get off their butt and go vote.
I know, that's true. That's very, very true. Very true. I just mentioned that. Y'all have a great week and enjoy yourself. Thank you, Jeff.
See you later. I'll be talking to you. Thank you, Jeff. Jeff Neal, good supporter of this broadcast. You know, what do you think? I mean, we got an election going on up there in the Clarksville. That's primarily where this seeds out of, but so many other counties too. People won't even go vote. I mean, they're disconnected.
Can you blame them?
Well, I agree. Yeah, you know, maybe you're right.
The apathy is the point.
Right.
It's going to take a lot to repair the damage, not to Donald Trump or the GOP or the Democrats or the liberals or the progressives or the fascists or the communists or the authoritarians or the Maoists or the anarchists. There is a inherent thing wrong with our political discourse online and our civil discourse in person. And politics has been the way that we've ruled power over each other. Politics has not been the way that we've solved things.
Right.
It's been the way for us to dominate one another. It's warfare.
Right.
But without any shots so far.
Right. But for me, in modern day terms, this thing started with Reagan when he fired the air traffic controllers and busted their union. The Republicans have been wanting to do that. They'd wanted that for years. And this was the beginning of the end, and it took them 40 years.
Well, I mean, they also wanted to ban abortion nationwide.
They've done it.
They wanted in the 40s, James Fifield, one of the first massive evangelist, the prototype of Billy Graham and Adrian Rogers.
Right. Yeah,
he was one of the most profitable megachurch leaders in California, and he would distribute literature with the help of big corporations to rail against the FDR's administration on labor rights, labor union rights, taxes, labor taxes, busting up trust. James Fifield was a very outspoken pastor.
Right. They're always pastors.
But
the thing is, the
medium makes it so easy for people who have influence, like Paul Feinbaum,
right,
a guy who talks about football for a living,
right,
because of political happenstance and going-ons, he wants to run for Senate in Alabama. Not because he has an idea of the way forward, but because he sought domination and power for so long. The thing you find out the most in weak people is what they want and how they want to use it.
And what's he going to run it? Republican?
Of course. It's the winning ticket.
See, they're the winners. Sticking with the winners. I've been a Democrat all my life. Okay? It's just that simple. Since I was 18, the first election I voted in was President Carter's. Okay? I'm not ashamed of it. And I've had some good votes. Okay? Now, in recent years, I've had some that didn't turn out so doggone good. But that's okay. I'll tell you what. I'll stay with that. And I think it's the reason I probably never became a pastor. Because the pastor's stigma. No, my family thought I was going to be. They knew that I was going to be the man to bring the word. I'm bringing it in a different way.
Yep.
You know.
Me and you both.
And I'm getting ready to ramp it up a little bit. But first, before we do that, I'm going to go. We've got to sell some soap. Let's go to our second break.
Yeah, get some money
in. And thank our sponsors. Thank you all very much. We appreciate you. And Connor, take us to our final break here, and then we'll have a little more than 23 minutes, me and Christian, and we're going to come back and bash some people. How about that? Okay. Emily Raymer Show. Christian Gaze, my guest. Connor's on the board. Back with you right after this. Stay with us. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to Jay Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murphy Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it. They can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to Jay Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murphy Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West North Hill Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com. Saving money. We're an economical place around here. Christian, tell me, what do you think about this bunch? Where is this thing going to end? Where do we wind up? What's history tell us?
Andrei Kohave, he was a Russian-French philosopher who fled the Nazis in the Second World War. He nearly escaped with his life.
Right.
He talks about in his book Notion of Authority, and I'm not going to get too heady here, but he says that authority that results from sheer numbers is in fact claiming pure and simple force. In a broader sense, they use saturation of the media to make themselves giants. They flood outrage, the illusion of the acceptance of their beliefs, the rehearsed practice of force but not power or authority, like what we saw with Hegseth's big speech to the admirals and generals. But when you pull the veil back and see the weakness of these people, you see them as weak because they would have never been so without legitimate means.
Right.
Had it not been for the legitimacy of the institutions of the United States government,
true, right,
these people would never be seen as legitimate people.
Right.
They are weak because they have no authority when they use force, which is why they have to use force to begin with.
Right.
Jason Stanley, who is a Yale professor, and he is an expert on authoritarianism and Hitlerism and fascism, so like that. He fled to Canada this year because of the increasing attacks on the institutions of education. Even, I think, today a memo crossed the DOJ's desk that called for stripping citizenship over politics. Let's let that sink in for a second.
You're kidding. This happened today?
Oh, excuse me, July 2nd. July 2nd.
Where at?
What do you mean?
We're in Washington? Is this a federal thing?
Yeah, Department of Justice.
Oh, good. That's a real department. That's justice, all right. Yeah.
But...
they make me sick.
Regardless, Jason Stanley says this: propaganda uses the language of virtuous ideas, of things that sound good, to unite people behind otherwise objectionable ends. Now, when you say it like that, it doesn't sound like it means anything.
Sure.
But if I tell you that this is a Democrat shutdown and Democrat layoffs, and we have to do everything we can, he told the Navy today, to get these gnats off our shoulders, well, you're going to have people listen. Because, at least he's got a solution.
Right.
When in reality, he's saturated the market. His words are like the German mark at the turn of the Weimar Republic. He says so much that it becomes meaningless. Therefore, the apparatus of government becomes meaningless. The lies become meaningless. Lies don't mean anything to begin with, but whenever the president says them and we listen to them, the government becomes meaningless. It's a void. It has nothing. It consists of no substance, which is what they need to enact their plans. They couldn't do it by legitimate means. We're in a shutdown. President Trump even said,
yeah,
presidents true. Who reside over That's a shutdown, true. It's a sign of presidential weakness. Joe Biden never had one.
Right.
Bush, I don't think, had any.
No.
We know Barack Obama did. But I saw that there was a photo of the president speaking with someone in the Oval Office. This was last week.
Yeah.
I saw that the White House had put out on its social media.
Right. White House situation. Yeah.
Well, he has sitting on the desk in the Oval Office Trump 2028 hats. Now,
oh no, I've seen those.
If you know, the president can only run 2 terms of 4 years.
Supposed to.
It's in the Constitution.
Now, well, supposed to be. Yeah.
But it wasn't the focus of the photograph, if you can believe it. They seem to be like little props in the background. They seem to
sure.
be
yeah.
Just commonplace, like your coffee mm-hmm. cup or this cup of pens.
Nudging you.
But yeah. it does something to show that no longer does the knowledge of law, the Constitution, or democratic norms mean anything when a party boss or specific individuals begin to rule by mandate.
Right. Yeah.
The Ku Klux Klan never dies. They just stop wearing sheets because sheets cost too much.
Right.
They've gotten more comfortable coming forward and saying these things.
Oh, yeah. They're very much out in the open now.
But one thing we haven't heard enough is one has not only a legal but a moral responsibility to obey just laws.
Sure.
Conversely, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. Letters from Birmingham Jail. Martin Luther King Jr.
Right.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that amongst these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I guarantee you there's a bunch of people out there to do. Couldn't tell me where it's from.
No.
But they can point to me on the internet, on their feeds,
sure.
the different videos that the president has used AI on to put right. down people yeah. who look different than they do, who sure. don't have as much money as they do, don't have as much opportunity as they do. And they do it because it makes them feel good, not because they care that we hold these truths to be self-evident.
And with no fact behind them whatsoever.
Correct.
No facts at all. Because it makes them feel good.
No, the unthinkable has arrived. Whenever you call me today, I sat in my chair and I stared at the wall. And that usually happens when I talk to you. But,
Dusty Conard.
But I sat and thought, I guess we really are on the Rubicon. Because when you have a president, I don't know if you saw this the other day, 4 American kids were naked, drug out in the street in Chicago.
Yeah, I saw
it. Putting back in ice vans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lady got shot who had been criticizing ICE's operations in Chicago. And there's video coming out that disproves everything ISIS says. It looks like a political hit job. But they shot her.
Yeah.
And left. And the fire department in Chicago is the one who found her and scooped her up and got her to the hospital. I can't wait for that testimony to come out.
Well, see, that's home with me, because my brother is a fireman. He's a lieutenant fireman.
Yeah.
I knew we were in trouble when firemen, they have bulletproof vests on their trucks now.
Right.
Right. I didn't know the fire department had. They're not supposed to go out to fight war. The war they fight is that machine called fire.
Right.
You know, right. that's enough.
That's bad enough to.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Go ahead.
These unthinkable occurrences, the memos, the words of the president, ideas that they put forward, the harm they do to our communities whenever they want to deregulate and decentralize and privatize everything and let their right. corporate interest get into everything and screw over people from Kittrell all the way over to Eagleville.
That's right.
All the way from Johnson City all the way to Memphis. We don't listen to our people. They don't care about us. Governor Lee has said, oh, what a great job they've been doing over there in Memphis. Oh, what a wonderful job. I can't wait to see how many arrests have been done. Because I can't wait to see this just fix crime in Memphis forever. It's not about solutions. It's about strength.
Well, and that's what I said when their mayor stood down there and Lee is back over his shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that mayor, not with enough courage, and I'll be nice about it, to say, this is wrong. Governor, call this off. And they won't do it. And I got news for you. It wouldn't happen here either.
Mm-mm, not a thing.
Our mayor, our county mayor, is going to back down from Donald J. Trump? Mick, you can forget it.
Mick Farland and Joe Carr would love to have him come out
They'd
here.
They'd love to have him out here.
Oh, man.
Put his arm around them and tell everybody what a great job they're
well,
doing.
Well, it'd also be the only time they ever got anything done.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
But be calm, listeners. Be calm when the unthinkable happens. Timothy Snyder, one of the most preeminent scholars we have on occurrences of today.
True.
He says, modern tyranny is the management of terror. When the attacks come, remember that these tyrants, they exploit them in order to consolidate power. The sudden disaster that requires the ends of our checks and balances, the dissolution of the Democratic Party, the suspension of freedom of expression, like how the president wants to make burning flags legal. I hate to tell you, but Texas v. Johnson, if you're still listening to the Supreme Court, they outlawed that in the 80s in Reagan's term.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure Judge Rehnquist said, sorry, you can't do it.
That's right.
But the right to a fair trial, like we see with Kamal Abrego over in Nashville.
Right.
Just in our backyard.
Right.
It's the oldest trick in the Hitlerian book. Do not fall for it. In politics, being deceived is no excuse.
True. Get informed, people.
But there may be a time, maybe in the not so far distant future, where we can't do this.
I know. And I know I'm one phone call away.
Well, we can't.
No,
we can't.
I'm one phone
this.
Call away. Yeah. Press is free if you own one.
Right.
And I don't own it.
But it may not be because press isn't free,
right.
But because your thoughts, your ideas.
Yeah.
The end of 1984, I loved the party.
I know. Yep.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I died for the party.
Yeah.
I had to give everything to it. There's a reason that hundreds of thousands of people put their arms up and saluting tyrants from the 40s to the 30s. To the 20s, all the way back down to Cicero, to King Yegus, the very first tyrant.
Right.
But Dr. Snyder tells us this, and I've told many of my people who are thinking about leaving the country or thinking about going somewhere else.
And I have many friends their children have. I say many, I've got a few.
Now
several
listen,
that have.
It gets in my crawl, but I understand.
Go ahead.
My thing is, if it's good enough to live in, it's good enough to fight for. And if
yes,
it's good
it
enough it's a fight for, it's good enough to die for. I don't know a good-blooded American who just cut tail and run.
Right. Yeah.
We've been beating the Nazis since 1945.
Right.
Put a whooping on them. We beat the British. That's the whole point of
right.
American democracy. It wasn't to overthrow a government. It was to overthrow evil because we hold these truths to be self-evident.
That's right.
Because the Klan never dies. It wears different sheets.
Yeah, well, they don't have money to buy sheets, like you say.
But Dr. Snyder says this.
Yeah.
Be as courageous as you can. If none of us is prepared to die for freedom, then all of us will die under tyranny.
That's exactly right.
I think you got a caller.
We've got a caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Ed. It's Terry over in Knoxville.
Hello, Terry. How are you? Thank you for calling. How do you feel about this tonight?
Well, I just got a late start, but I wanted to explore with your guest and you what states can do to rebel against any kind of invasion tactics. Like Mr. Newsom over in California, he is saying that if these universities bow down to Trump's agenda, then they're going to withhold state funds. And that's just one thing that a governor could do. But one of the things I've been thinking about is why not just let any money that states provide to the federal government through taxes or products that are made in that state or anything else that the federal government has their hands into, just stop it. And let's see how this goes. What do you think about that?
How much unnecessary suffering for people who have no choice in this with that cause? First, it would take having a governor brave enough to stand up against the federal government. And boy, if you can find me, I don't know, more than half of our states who have governors as brave as that, I can, I'd get along with you. But it's going to take a lot more than state resistance. It's going to take individuals.
People.
Individuals outside of the government.
Right.
Because they are the ones that are the most brave. They're the ones that always been the most. It wasn't politicians and senators who got shot at Kent State.
That's true.
It wasn't merely politicians who got their head cracked on the bridge over Selma.
Right.
It was people like me and you.
Yeah.
No matter your age, no matter your gender, no matter your race, no matter your creed, no matter your color, it's always been people like us that hold the feet to the fire of the United States government.
Right.
And if we have to rely on weak and feckless men and some weak and feckless women to hold back American liberty and freedom and prosperity, then we just given up before we even started. We've seen how easy that money can make them cut tail and run.
Terry, your response.
Well, I have a feeling that the Republicans in Congress are on death threats for going against the president.
You may very well be right.
You might be right.
Yeah.
You might be right.
And they can't. They're afraid to do anything, or their families, or their. We already know he would stack the elections against them. That's a given. But it could go further than that. And I think that the pressure on the Republicans in Congress is going to get so intense that they're getting ready to stand up for themselves. I think it's just a matter of time. What's your opinion?
And, you know, well, I agree. I think all it would take is one or two and say, you know, look, what, folks, that's enough. We can't go this route anymore.
You're going to find out what it takes.
Yeah.
If it takes anything.
If it takes anything. But, you know, Terry, my dad used to have a saying, and for all the times I didn't get along with my father, he had some pretty good sayings. And before he died, I said, well, it looks like Democrats might make a return in this election. And he said, no, son, they ain't hungry enough yet. When a man gets hungry, and he meant hunger, he meant true hunger.
Yeah.
When he said, when a man gets hungry enough, that's when he'll wake up. When him and his family are suffering from hunger, you know.
That's the paramount thing, of course. And liberty doesn't seem to affect people or their civic engagement or their lack of independence because they've got a job and they're eating.
Sure.
And they got food on the table.
Well, not only are they eating for sustenance, they're also eating ideas online. They're being fed like cattle.
Right.
Corrosive ideas to the American Republic. They're being castigated, and their thought is being castrated in a way that makes it to where they can't think freely.
That's true, but I really only think maybe 20-30% of Americans buy any of that crap.
Well, I think that, I think that number, thank goodness, is going down. Most people, because I don't listen to it anymore.
I don't know if it's about if anybody still buys it, but about if we're going to survive it.
Yeah, right.
We just have to outlast it.
I mean, when you got a White House, Terry, let me ask you something. And Christian, you too, I got both of y'all here. What do you think about a White House that takes time to do AI?
Unserious.
Oh, this is the development of the surveillance state.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's unserious.
Control everything.
We've had the surveillance state since the Patriot Act in 2003. They've been spying on us for a long time. Edward Snowden revealed that and had to flee to Russia. But
they're just down. They're going crazy with these license tag readers and AI everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
The Fourth Amendment needs to be reevaluated.
It may. I think you're right. It may need to be, totally it may need to be looked at, but you're not going to get it from Republicans.
Mm-mm. Oh, no, no.
It's just not going to happen. And I don't know, I don't know how your county is, Terry, but down here, this thing, I mean, there's no one that breaks step with, the big man and his administration. They're right there. I mean, they will not. And you can tell they just don't talk about it anymore. I'd rather not say.
Well, Knoxville proper itself is blue, and the mayor is blue, but they're outnumbered, and we're in the second district, and you got those cliffhangers up there from Congress in Tennessee, all of them except and they're afraid to say too much, but they do exist.
Well, Nashville's the same way. Nashville's as blue can get. But, look at the state legislature.
They go like in that party up there to give any money to anybody down here, focus on rural development or redevelopment or anything else. They're too busy trying to hang on to Memphis, Knoxville, and Nashville.
That's right.
Yep. True. They're out for number one, baby.
That's right.
At one time, there was the Supreme Court ruled against gerrymandering. And now a whole South and most of the Midwest is the gerrymandered. Even if it was 3-1 Democrats, we still wouldn't win.
Oh, yeah. It is fixed. I saw it explained. I watched a YouTube video that showed that some states, you cannot win in certain districts.
Shelby County versus Holder, they gutted it once. Yeah. The Voting Rights Act, they're going to gut it again.
Right.
It's just, they're going to probably put the death nail in it this year, I guess.
I guess. Because, until we get...
Hope is to get out there and vote this election, if we have one, and do your best to vote these critters out of the White House.
Well, and I'm talking about midterms. Yeah, I'm not talking about the presidential. I'm talking about, you're right, Terry, and I think I know what you're talking about. The midterm that's coming up next year. And it's here. The time is here. Get off your butts, Democrats, and go vote.
Talk to your neighbors, too.
If we can take the House, it would hold back this mess.
Yes, it would. That it would. And on our state, I'm talking about on a state level and a federal level. Because what is happening until these local politicians see this and say, we lost that guy. Uh-huh. Then you got to stir the storm just a little bit, and then you've got to keep stirring. Terry,
one more thing, and I'll shut up.
Okay. Go ahead.
These guys that are worried about Trump putting somebody against them, they don't need to worry about what he does, because they're all going to lose anyway.
Yeah, Trump's good at one thing, losing elections for other people. He is. Yeah. Terry, we're out of time. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, and I appreciate your commentary. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Christian Gay, thank you. I appreciate
you
being here. Connor, great job on the board again. And I'll tell you, folks, I'm Edwin Lee Raymer. Until next Sunday night at 8 o'clock, I'll catch you down the road. Good night.